Good evening. I'm John Sestina. Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. With me tonight, Stephen Lucan, Craig Konstantinovich, and Tony Payne, all certified financial planners. Sorry about such a somber day, guys, that we have to go on. It's been a tough week for the United States. We started with the New York 8 being killed by that trucker, the truck. I guess the guy's officially an ISIS terrorist. And then to have this thing happen today, which we'll sooner or later find out about. So sad news, but we're going to try to help you perk up a little bit because, number one, we have some good news we want to share with you right off the bat. Yeah, Stephen?
Well, this morning I was walking out around downtown Columbus with Allison, and there was a race going on, and there was about 15,000 runners. So it was a very large race. And the thing that stuck out in my mind as we were walking, there was a barricade of huge dump trucks blocking roads. And we thought about that, like, wow, that's talk about how much has changed in the last 15 years that we've been doing runs for a long time now. And that, you know, just the security and the safety, and it's somewhat sad that freedom is being slowly taken away from us.
Yes, slowly but surely.
We have to live our life and just believe that, you know, whatever it is that you do believe in God, that's going to take care of you the right way. But this is it's frightening to think this is slowly losing that freedom.
Well, for all of us, there's quite a contrast because you and Allison ran the New York Marathon, what, 12 years ago?
No, I spectated.
You finished?
No, I didn't run that one. That was the Marine Corps Marathon.
Oh, the Marine Corps Marathon. That was another sad one.
Yeah.
But the New York Marathon, so we were there and we had a celebratory time. And what a contrast to what happened this week in New York.
So yeah. And they ran the New York Marathon today, too.
Yes, yeah. And an American woman won first place, which is the first time in, what, 30 years or something? So that was good news.
Fantastic.
That was good news. Well, let's move on to the economy. And as you can expect, we're going to spend a good deal of time on the tax proposal. Of course, as we discussed the tax proposal, you're well aware that this is simply the House's first rally. And we know that it's going to go to the Senate. The Senate's going to have its own little deal, and they're going to massage and talk. And so this won't be the end plan, but I think it's helpful that people should understand what it is. So let's start with the good news first, guys. And what's that? It's about the economy.
Well, the unemployment rate from Friday was a very, very positive report that the unemployment rate continued to drop. There was 261,000 jobs added. Fantastic. That's good for, you know, the job market itself. The one thing that I looked up and I was a little, here we go again with the participation rate.
Right.
It notched above 63% last month. Great. And now it's down below again.
Right.
And we've been focusing on that number up back in 2007. It was at 66%.
Well,
we
got to get it up. And supposedly this tax proposal is going to do that. It's going to get more. It's going to get wage increase. And if the economy grows, and if the taxes change, I think we will get some higher wages.
And that's a big thing here, is making sure that both of them are working in unison, because you can't have, you know, the economy continuing to grow, but wages continuing to stay where they're at. That's just not going to be healthy for the consumers. So,
well, the Atlanta Fed had some good news. What did it say, guys?
So it was saying that the estimated, or based on their most recent economic data, GDP, or gross domestic product, is actually heading towards about a 4.5% annualized rate here this year, which is far beyond what they originally anticipated, being at about 3% or about 2.9% to start off the year. So all good news there.
I know that makes Tony's day.
Right, Tony?
4% has been the goal. You guys, to treat with 4.5% here, I mean, even if it is one fourth quarter, I mean, it's tricky how they word that. It's annualized 4.5%. But if we're able to do that, that's what pays down debt. And Stephen, you really dug into the jobs report well, because the other thing that was missing, I mean, good things happening, but the labor participation rate's still there, but also real wages from a year ago adjusted for inflation, they're down about a penny an hour, which, of course, that may not seem like a lot, but that's not going up either. And that's the big deal here, as we think about those struggling and wanting to get back on our feet. So, John, exactly what we're talking about with this tax plan, the more that we can put people back to work and encourage productivity, the better. And that's what it seems like this tax plan does, is it encourages productivity And you can get into the social arguments of rich or poor, this or that. But the idea is people who have capital, maybe the rich in this case, are going to be able to apply more of that. And some of it's just the nature of capitalism, their own interest, because they want more. They want to improve that business and open more and grow, and that's hiring. So I'm summing up here, John. I know there's a lot of finer points in the proposal, but I think that's what they're trying to do here.
Well, conceptually, you're exactly right. So the economy is looking better. The projection is good, according to the Atlanta Fed. And then we had some other good news about what, guys?
So that was in regards to the S&P 500, looking at the available job opportunities there for a lot of the higher up or the director positions for those companies. So of the nearly 400 open positions that were available for those 500 companies, again, the 500 biggest companies in the U.S., nearly half of them were appointed to women and minorities, which is fantastic news as far as just continuing to progress that
discussion. Level the playing field.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly right. So we're getting that taken care of, we hope, and we're getting the economy kind of back on track. Now, if we just get those wages up and the participation rate up, we could have a booming economy again and a booming country again, and that would be just so exciting for everyone involved. So,
well, one of the reasons we had back in the 90s such a large increase in wages was because of it works supply and demand. If there's not a lot of people in looking for jobs, the demand is high. They have to raise the wage. And in the 1990s, it was fascinating to watch how people were leaving and switching jobs on almost like on a monthly basis and almost doubling their income.
Right.
Because the demand for jobs was so high that if we can get this unemployment rate keep going down, that'll start bringing wages up. And then the economy start to get back to where it should be.
You know, you say the 1990s, and what's so interesting is there are people, young people today, who don't even know what you're talking about. They've only known a sluggish, for what, the last 10, 15 years, they've only known a sluggish, slow economy, unemployment and wages being flat and all that other bad news we had to deliver show after show. So they don't even know what you're talking about.
Double-digit market returns.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sitting here and it's like I'm reading a fantasy book. I don't remember any of this whatsoever. So.
Oh, these young kids, I'll tell you what. Well, when we come back, we're going to dive into this tax proposal by the House. And we're going to give you the numbers of your senators so that you're going to call them and express your opinion. But you may also call us on the show, 821-9886. That's 614-821-9886. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. And tonight, Tony Payne, Craig Konstantinovich, Stephen Lucan, all certified financial planners joining me tonight. Hey, guys, we ought to talk about our book more. You know, all the other shows promote their books all the time, and we don't do that.
Well, planning a successful future.
Yeah, where can they get that book?
Amazon,
yeah, yep. Go there.
That's the way to go.
Barnes & Noble or any of the major places, you can go there and find it.
It talks a lot about our financial planning concepts that you've been talking about for, what, almost 50 years now, different perspectives. And it gives you a good insight on things to consider when building your own financial plan.
Well, and on top of that, too, we have our weekly workshops, too, that are now available that people can sign up for. And again, everyone always thinks they hear workshops. They think steak dinners or, you know, well-fed meals. Not the case here. It's just meant to be educational and make sure that you have the tools to, you know, make sure your plan's on track.
Yep. And we had a nice session this last Thursday. People showed up even though I was there, Stephen.
Yeah.
Well, you were there too, so yeah. I couldn't scare them off. And so I did my little spiel and they still sat there. So that was pretty good. So hopefully they've gained something. And that's what the book does. It sets the foundation. You know, it's like everything else. If you're going to build a house, you have to have a strong foundation. If you're going to play a good football game, you have to have a good foundation, et cetera, et cetera. And so the same thing is true here. And that's what we try to do in the workshops and in the book and everything else, because we are about educating the public.
And last week we were saying how, you know, there's no shortcuts and it's focusing on the little things is so critical and important, just like football.
Yep.
Great coaches always say, focus on the little things. The big things will take care of themselves. And the same thing applies with your finances.
Yeah. And one of the big ones that, Tony, I know you always focus on, and I was even talking to my wife at home tonight about, was just the living expenses. You know, again, especially in our situation, we're just continuing to build our and merge our finances together. And I started telling her, well, here's what you spend approximately per month. Here's what I spend. Here's our annual number. And her eyes kind of perked up. And it's like, wow, we really spend that much. And, you know, it's not astronomical and it's, you know, not a very minimal amount either. But just being aware of it, that's the biggest key to get things moving in the right direction.
It's always surprising when you do that. I'll never forget this one doctor client we had, and great guy. And I kept trying to get him to do the cash flow worksheet. He would not do it. He says, I know what I spend. For years, he kept telling me that. So one year, he finally sat down and did it. He came back. He was shocked. He was actually spending double what he thought. So we hope you don't do that, folks. Well, we want to jump into this tax bill. And what again, we want to remind you that this is only the House's proposal. It's not gospel. The Senate has to play with it a while. And don't forget, and this is what some folks do forget, that there's a lot of lobbying groups who are also going to be trying to impact how this thing turns out. I mean, there's the real estate lobby, there's the attorney lobby, there's the financial lobby, there's everybody
there's
in the whole
media,
wide world.
Media's lobby, too, to get talking heads on there.
Exactly right. Well, it looks like we have a caller, so let's skip to them right away. Welcome. You're on Managing to Be Wealthy.
Hi, John. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, I had a question. I heard there was I think it was China, I'm not sure, that wants to create a currency with a gold standard, where things are backed by gold. Wouldn't that be an incredibly good environment for a consumer?
Well, it might be. It would probably bring the dollar value way down. Because our Fort Knox probably couldn't support all the cash we have out there these days.
Uh-huh. Well, because I was thinking, if I understand it correctly, deflation is where dollars are chasing a scarcity of a commodity, which would be gold. And it could drive, theoretically, it could drive the price of bread back to a nickel a loaf.
Well, that would be wonderful. I'd love a nickel a loaf of bread, but I've been waiting for gold to go somewhere for 50 years. I remember when 1969, somewhere in there, when they took it away, they got rid of the $35 fixed price of gold and let it go, and it went up to $800 an ounce. And this, let's say that was 1970. And so what's gold today? About
$1,200? Yeah,
about
$1,200,
$1,300 an ounce. So if you put a pencil to that and you figure out the inflation rate, it's actually a negative return on this kind of stuff. So I don't get too excited about Richard. I don't get too excited about the gold thing, but you know, we don't know what China's going to do, and hopefully they won't do anything that'll eventually harm our consumers.
Sure, we're just taking your point. Then, if wages don't go up, isn't everything a negative concern for a consumer? I mean, you're making money, but inflation keeps going.
Well, the way to look at this is really what to make to agree with your point is in the Depression. You could buy a car for less than 1 month's wages. Can you believe that? You could buy a car for less than 1 month's wage, even in the Depression. Now, today, Craig, you're looking at cars. Can you buy a car with 1 month's income?
I'd have to have one heck of an income,
that's
but no.
That's exactly right. And so that's to his point about the inflation. Consumer purchasing power has really been harmed over the long term by all of this thing. Well, Richard, thanks for your insight. We'll keep watching out for that. Okay, let's move on then to the tax picture. So once again, we're talking about the House proposal, and watch out for those lobbying groups, because that's the secret. Those people are the ones who kind of make the sausage making really, really difficult. So we want you to be involved, not only with us by calling 821-9886, but by calling your senators. And Craig, you looked up our two senators.
Yep. So Senator Brown can be reached at 614-489-2083. And then Senator Portman can be reached at 614-489-6774.
So whatever your opinion is, please give them a call and let them know. If you like this proposal or you don't like this proposal, that's on you. We're going to try to give you some of the facts as we have scoured them. And I'll tell you what, I've spent hours and hours and hours reading almost everything I could find on this. I'm sure you guys have too.
Yeah.
And so we want to go through this. And so let's start off with the brackets. And I think, Tony, you're pretty good about knowing this sort of thing.
Well, we've got right now seven different tax brackets, and they range in a couple different ways. And the proposal is going to take that down to four, a 12, a 25, a 35, and the 39.6. That's the high rate. So that high rate applies to any incomes above $500,000.
For singles.
And for singles.
Right.
You've got it, John. And the idea with this, too, and this is where some would say, how do they pay for things or this or that? As you look at the brackets, we know that the brackets have dollar amounts that go along with them. And those change over time. Well, one of the ideas here is adjusting that, how those brackets shift, where those are made up, and slowing that down, really, with inflation, not keeping up as much as it has. And by doing that, you're able to minimally, very minimally on everyone in America, generate a little bit more income, but flatten the tax code, flatten the system here. And that's what these four rates are doing. It's simplifying A, but it's really flattening that out. So if you are at the highest income level, you aren't going to have a dollar taxed at the lowest. That low 12% rate. Right now, it flows upwards. So even those earning $1 billion a year on their first couple bucks, they're not paying much. That shifts under this proposal as well. So that's where I thought these brackets, it's more than just those four rates. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that shows a lot of good intent here.
Right. And why don't you review the numbers? What are that? We know that it's $1 million for couples who hit that 39.6 rate. What about the other brackets?
Sure. The $200,000, you're going to top out at 25%. So any incomes up to let's start over here. Start at the bottom.
Yes.
So at zero to $45,000, you're paying 12%. So 12% tax rate.
And that's for singles.
You've got it, for singles.
And for married,
I'm phrasing this too.
Right. And for marrieds, that's double at $90,000 first at 12%.
You've got it. And then beyond the 45 up to 200, it's 25%. And then the 35% is above the level of 200 to 500. And again, above that $500,000 of income for a single person, the tax rate's 39.6%. But we also know that so far the Obamacare taxes or the affordable health care mandates have not been repealed. So that top rate may be more like 45% when you really add it all up.
Yeah, between the exclusion of the use of the lower brackets for, I think the number is 1.2 to 1.6 million people, dollar amounts, those people cannot participate in the lowest rate. They don't get a part of that
12% rate.
So their taxes would actually be higher. That's, you know, what disturbs me about this is, please don't go off on an emotional, you know, platitudes and get off of that stuff. Look at the plan and make it, you know, this is a good start, but look at the plan realistically and contribute. Make it better.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced this is not going to help higher income people. They are not going to pay less taxes. When we get into talking about what deductions are going to be lost, I'm willing to put money down that people making probably around 200 to 250 or higher are going to pay the same or if not more taxes with this tax proposal.
Well, and that's why I hate the call. You know, the unfortunately, I'm going to say the Democrats are they keep saying this
right.
is for the rich.
It's
for
it's
the
not.
It's not for
it's
the rich
not.
At all.
Prove it to me, and then I'll agree with you.
Well,
there's
that's
no
the problem.
Way.
They never there's give no specifics.
Way.
They just do these generalities. And you know, if I were a TV host and they were on, I would say, "Well, give me a specific." But no one seems to do that. So we're trying to give you specifics so you can play with it. And there's been lots of calculations, and I don't know if we can get into some of those or not. But there's been lots of calculations that show all kinds of good things. Well, it's time for another break, so we're going to do that. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Well, there's that cash register again, guys. We're trying to make sure that you all can fill up your cash register with some information that you can use in building your financial plan. I'm John Sestina. This is Managing to Be Wealthy. With me tonight, Stephen Lucan, Craig Konstantinovich, and Tony Payne, all certified financial planners. Well, guys, we're going to try to get through all of this tax stuff and share with people some of the things like, I mean, One of the things is the 529. I think we got that in this list we've created here.
Correct.
So we've done the brackets. So now let's move on to the next item, which is
standard deduction. This is the big, I think the biggest change in the whole tax reform is they're basically catching up with the times, where the standard deduction right now, it's doubling to 24,000 is the proposal for married couple. For single, it's 12,000. And what this is going to do is eliminate the itemized deduction significantly by the number of people who will actually just take the standard deduction and move along and simplify their tax preparation. So you think about not having to go to H&R Block or hiring a CPA. TurboTax is going to be real easy for people to do because of the standard deduction.
That's a huge thing, too, because right now with our current clients, we're going through end of year tax planning. More times than not, we spend probably a bulk of our time talking about the itemized deductions. Are you tracking your medical expenses? What about real estate taxes? Do you want to prepay any of those? All sorts of other aspects that are included on those itemized deductions. To remove that, simplify it, and instead turn to something else that may be more favorable, like business tax planning, that's going to allow us to do a lot more forward thinking, utilizing businesses, not just, hey, is there some way that we can actually bulk in some deductions for you now and just take the standard deduction?
Well, and the other thing to recognize is that today, before this tax proposal, 71% of the population uses a standard deduction. So if they increase the standard deduction, they're really going to win here.
No, you mean the itemized. 71% use itemized deductions, correct?
No, standard deduction. Standard deduction.
So 71% of the people are going to get a bigger tax.
They're going to get a bigger tax break. So, yeah. You know, we keep hearing these folks say, look at the thing in the whole. So when you hear about some of the things you're used to having go away, recognize that this $24,000 standard deduction kind of covers for that. Yeah. For example, one of the things that's going away is the $250 teacher reimbursement thing. Well, so they deduct that in their tax bracket. They save $20. But here, because they've picked up an extra $12,000, I mean, it's a better deal.
When you look at $12,000 at maybe a 25% tax rate.
That's exactly right.
$4,000 in your pocket.
Right.
That's a win. The other thing, too, is it's going to benefit people who right now that are taking the ones that maybe they paid off their mortgage.
Yes,
they were financially responsible. Get rid of the debt. Pay off the mortgage. Now they're going to get a bigger tax benefit. Somebody I was talking to a couple weeks ago, I showed them the numbers, and they're going to save an extra $2,000 in taxes because of this standard deduction doubling.
Exactly. And in addition to that, there's the increased child tax credit. And that's going up to $1,600 for a taxpayer, spouse, and dependents. That's the additional $300 that you can get for the taxpayer, spouse, child, and all dependents.
Basically, it's a non-child dependent credit.
Yes.
That if you're maybe have a parent living with you or a relative that you're taking care of who's elderly, you
or
get
your
a credit.
Kids,
right?
Or your kids.
Yes. So remember, we just talked about the standard deduction. Now, a credit is an actual offset of your taxes that you would owe.
So
it's not a deduction. It's
correct.
A credit. It's a full refund of $300 of taxes.
Correct.
So it's a big savings. And the same is true of the, what is the other one? The childhood. Yeah, the childhood tax credit. Child tax credit.
Yep.
And that's going up to $1,600.
So, yeah, this is some major changes for people with the children.
And this is who does this impact? This does seem to me to be impacting the middle class.
Correct.
So that's a pretty amazing little thing there. So what you want to do is look at the whole tax proposal. Now, we don't expect our listeners to dive into it like we're diving into it, but try to get rid of all the rhetoric and hear some of the facts, or make your people talk about the facts. So when you call the senators, and what were their phone numbers again, Craig?
So their phone numbers are, for Senator Brown, it's 614-489-2083. And then for Senator Portman, 614-489-6774.
And we're saying the senators, because the House has already passed this, so we don't need to worry about them for the moment. Okay, so the other thing is that the adoption credit, plug-in vehicles, I love this one. The electric vehicles, they're losing that subsidy of $7,500. So when somebody buys that luxurious $70,000
Tesla,
we're paying, we're subsidizing $7,500. I love this one.
Get
so I'm
it.
Glad to see
good,
that
good
one
riddance.
Go away. Yeah, I always, when I go to the Tesla dealer, I always ask him, do you also carry fire extinguishers? Is that part of the standard equipment?
A friend of mine, he's car buff, and he jokes with someone who has a Tesla, and he goes, oh, it's a coal-powered car.
I like that, too.
Most electricity is fueled by coal. So
what are they going to do with the batteries never mind. Okay, so they're going to do away with the secondary education and apprenticeship programs things, and the American Opportunity Earned Income stuff is going to be waived.
No, the American Opportunity and Earned Income credits are going to be safe.
Safe, that's right. Excuse me very much. Let's see here. This is another biggie for those high income people who are complaining about losing some of the other things that are going on. The alternative minimum tax. Now, when you calculate the alternative minimum tax, remember that was set up in
late 60s.
And the point of that was there were like roughly 60 people in the country who were affected by this. Well, today, millions of Americans are affected by this crazy law. And then again, looking at the whole thing, do you get to use your home mortgage interest or your state and local income taxes to offset the alternative minimum tax?
No.
No. So when you're complaining about if you're in a really high income tax bracket and you're affected by the alternative minimum tax, you don't get that now,
yeah.
Right? Or you're taxed at the alternative minimum rate.
Right.
So this is another thing to be I don't want to get too enthusiastic here. I don't want to feel like I'm pitching this bill, but there seem to be some good things in it. So the other one is the estate tax exemption. I think they chickened out on this one.
It looks from reading what we're going through here. It looks like there's going to be some negotiations with the estate tax.
Yeah, and that's kind of crazy. I think it's the most unfair tax that we face. I mean, you earn the money, and you know who this really affects are farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most affected by this because they work all their lives. They want to keep the farm and the family.
Thousands of acres,
and they get to be worth millions and millions. And all of a sudden, when they die, the estate tax clobbers them, and they lose their farms.
Have to sell land to pay the tax.
We've seen a few clients go through that. So I'm glad to see they're at least going to – their proposal is to double it. So right now, it's roughly $5 million that you can pass with as an estate exemption, and they're going to double that. So that's a good thing. But the gift tax is going to stick around. It's got a 35% tax rate on the gift when you make it. And let's see what...
Well, hold on, John, too, on that point. So they're also talking about for the estate tax, a potential full repeal by the year 2024.
Right.
So it would go away then. But to your point, it's going to take time, obviously, for us to get there.
Right. Exactly. 2024.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Push something out like that, Craig, you know.
Well, when it reduces the tax liability, if it's going to increase, they're going to make sure
you
that it's
going on. You obviously weren't around when the 1999 tax reform came out.
Man.
Remember when
I was nine.
There'll be no estate tax by so-and-so.
Yes,
yeah,
here right.
We still deal with it.
I was 9 years old, so I wasn't exactly aware how taxes worked. I was just worried about building up my piggy bank. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to stumble through this tax proposal and hopefully give you some insights that you may not have thought about. This is Managing to Be Wealthy. You're listening on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back. Unfortunately, given the circumstances in Texas and the storm warnings that are out there, we're going to discontinue our broadcast tonight. Hopefully by next week, we'll have more information on the tax proposal as it's been beaten up. We thank you for listening. And now we're going to switch over to ABC News.